Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard. Some experiences are personal, others are meant to be shared. MasterCard presents Priceless Picks, a place to share at priceless.com.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. At the heart of Bishop Allen is a songwriting team of Justin Rice and Christian Rutter. Tonight, the band is a foursome. We're at the Rock and Roll Hotel in Washington, D.C. Bishop Allen makes sharp 3 and 4 minute songs. These songs are full of odd characters and stories and contagious hooks. You're about to hear the entire concert from Bishop Allen. The show was webcast live at NPR.org on Saturday night, the 22nd of September, from the Rock and Roll Hotel in Washington, D.C. I interviewed 3 members of the band just before the show, and on this podcast edition of All Songs Considered, I've decided to take that interview and put it at the back end of this podcast. You should know that there are pictures of Bishop Allen from the evening's performance online at npr.org/music. Look for our live concert series there as well. More concerts coming up: Rilo Kiley, The Animal Collective, Iron and Wine, Acaville River, Jose Gonzalez, The New Pornographers, and so many more. Sign up to our newsletter. We'll send you the dates. Now, on to Bishop Allen at the Rock and Roll Hotel. We've posted the set list online. Enjoy the show, everyone. I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.
Here we go.
Greetings. Our constituency of Washington, D.C. Sweet.
So we're Bishop Allen from New York. Excited to be here. We've been working on our stage banter, as you can tell. Oh, we have to wait for the podcast, for real? No, he's good to go. He's good to go up there. Yeah, sure. Thanks for coming, everybody. We're not getting the acoustic in the... There it is.
Brilliant!
All right. Hi. We're called Bishop Allen, and this song is called The Same Fire.
Review that the paper says.
song is called Rain. Fire Rain. I'd actually never thought about that before. Bed clothes, why am I in bed clothes? Watching out the window, watching what I don't know. On the fire escape now, hands they start to shake now. Ready for the rail to break now, and I'm awake at last, awake. Cursing, rattling and cursing. Go ahead and do your worst then. Your worst than I can take. Oh, let the rain fall down and wash this world away. Oh, let the sky be gray. Cause if it's ever gonna get any better, it's gotta get worse today. The song is called Busted Heart. Follow me to the shipwrecked shores of a dark and strange country. I was born stranger thinking that love in a foreign tongue. I was out of place. I was looking all around just to try to find a friendly face. But they're all gone. Let me out alone in this town. And a busted heart is a welcome friend. And when that heart leaves, what will you do then? And if I cry, is that a sin? And the wisdom is a whisper. I'm trying to understand what I say, what I think, where I sleep, and when I breathe. what I do with my hands. Did you ever think? Did you ever think? Think? Lot of people every day who should be drowned. Did you ever think? Did you ever think? Think? Let me. Heart is a welcome friend, and when that heart leaves, what will you do then? And if I cry, is that a sin? And finally we're at the end. Thanks a lot. So Christian's bringing out the ukulele now. I know it's a pop, it's an instrument that's growing in popularity amongst you. Many of you are ukulele players, so how many of you play the ukulele? Every day, every hour, you dream about it. This one's for you. And for the great state of Hawaii. 50th in our union, but first in our hearts. I ducked out of the rain into Maria's wedding day. And I sat through with some friends and with some family, and I was happy. I was on some made advice, and I didn't know the groom nor the bride. But when I stood next to a brother for the photograph, he was laughing. Take another picture with the click 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 over us. Take another picture with the click 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 over us. Sure, I got pictures of my own, of all the people and the places that I've known. Here's one I'm carrying in your suitcase, outside of Alphabet City. But in someone else's life, when Maria is a wife, I'm on the mantel in the corner of a photograph, smiling pretty. Take another picture with your click-click-click-camera. Take another picture with your click-click-click-camera. Are you tired of the way you're going? And you think you might belong? In a moment when you step out of the rain, up in trouble and out to frame. Every memory now is never quite the same. You know, they never even asked your name. Take another picture with your camera. 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 Thanks a lot, our nation's capital. So how many of you are lobbyists? Not enough. I was going to run for president on a platform that we need more lobbyists. Millions. This is a song about that. The city is silver in the moon. The mountains heaped with sugar spoons. The click and clatter of my feet along the crooked cobbled streets like castanets. Down past the window shattered tight, the hollow of a haunted night. It's raining now out on the beach, the chitter chatter of my teeth like castanets. I'm following the coffee trail. I drink it black and buy the bail. The pesos turn to paper cups. My fingers tremble at the touch like castanets. The melodica. Webcast. Man, I need to go get that new dictionary and look up how the verbs conjugate. Show's being webcast, and this is a song for all the shut-ins out there who didn't make it out tonight. I got some of the shut-in in me, believe it or not. Don't we all?
You guys ready?
Called the news from your bed.
You were saving the day, but you woke up too late with the covers down over your head. You haven't left your front door for a week, maybe more. You're gonna take yourself out, despite the cold and snow. Did they forget about you? Are they in on it too? You're sitting looking in the mirror at your dancing shoes. When your family calls, you make nice to them all in the chairs, and you find that you agree. Then you cry in the back, cry so hard that you laugh, and you watch television to leave. Who do you need? Nobody. You're lucky nobody's around. I can pour my own drinks. Go on, get out of town. And it's gorgeous in your evening gown.
So we're here at the right by the Mason-Dixon line, right? Halfway between North and South, et cetera, et cetera. This song started out, a friend of mine had a grandmother who used to take him up to her attic, and she'd point at this couch that had these holes in it and say, "See, Yankee bayonets." And also the fact that they built the first ironclad right down the block from where I live right now, which is very strange. This song is called The Monitor.
Once a great iron works stood at the end of my street, and they hauled in the monitor fitter with armor for to save the Union fleet. The River James was on fire as the Merrimack thundered and raged. And she seemed so colossal and so unstoppable until the two engaged. And inside the sound, the deafening din, round after round, again and again, shelling down, shelling down, shelling down. The neighborhood's quiet at night, but sometimes my ears still ring. And you'd think I'd understand that a rock and roll band doesn't mean the blessed thing. But I picture the poor crew stunned when the cannons do finally subside. How they stand on the deck with the sun at their neck, and they wonder if they're still alive. And I try to shout, but none of them hear. They're moving their mouths, but the blood in their ears is running down, running down, running. Break another string and continue to sing. Is that good? I'm not sure. I'm glad it's shifted to fire. Still blue and still green. The men shovel in cold and work the pots in the hole. It's like every day. And none of them knew, but none of them cared how much it just changed right then and right there. They just carried on, carried on, carried on. And we're singing la-da-da-da, da-da-da. And we're singing la-da-da, da-da-da. And we're singing la-da-da-da, da-da-da. But what can I
much, you guys.
I was spending my day with my demons,
yeah.
They'd take it up inside of my heart. They were trying to keep me entertained. They were tearing me apart. Well, my memory of Sheila was back in,
yeah.
And I knew that she would never come back. She handed me a letter and then she vanished in the black. And the letter said, "Things are what you make of them, things are what you make of them, baby." And you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. Things are what you make of them, things are what you make of them, baby. And you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. Well, I met up with my common sense, and I knew her by the rose in her hair. She said, "Son, if you don't make a noise, God will never know you're there." So I purchased me a ticket, yeah, for a meeting with Jesus Christ. He shook my hand and offered me just this symbol of advice. He was telling me, "Things are what you make of them, things are what you make of them, baby." And you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. Things are what you make of them, things are what you make of them, baby. And you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, the end is coming. All right! All right! Well, all right! All right! Put the days together and they start to do some damage. The pain is in the middle, but I know that I will manage it. But we can stand it through, let our thoughts have been to do. But the end is coming soon, yeah, the end is coming. The telephone is ringing right off the hook. Must be one of those days where I got the shakes that I took where I should. Pick up the phone and say, "Well, alright, 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 alright." that I just can't shook.
Thanks so much. Now, John Vanderslice and his crack team are next, and they're amazing. When I said crack team, I hope you know that I meant that they're really good. Not that they're related in any way to the Marion Barry thing.
It's a low blow, buddy. It's a low blow.
Well, I was thinking about him today. This is like bad stand-up. This...
What were you thinking about, Justin?
I was just thinking about him. This song is about an abandoned piano that we found on the street. And we rescued it, the poor thing. It really was a nice guy. By the school on the street, you were dropped off with a sign, this piano is free. You didn't look free to me, cast aside, obsolete, since they canceled music class, you've been a refugee. But now I'll give you a home, Corizo home. So I push and I heave, put your weight board down like I could not believe that you accepted defeat, till the crowd gathered round. I guess we're tuning to you. So I pull up the seat and I swear I felt a pulse beneath your keys. To as your hammer's long, Corizo, hammer along, Corizo. I was caught, I was stuck, and my thoughts confined and deepened in the rest. Until your pencil of trust, now I search, I'm unsure, but my God, you've given me another chance to live. Teach me a song, Corizo,
Since this is being broadcast to the world live, let's say hello to the world, together as one.
One by one, city by city, country by country. Starting with Argentina! Okay, Brazil! We're gonna overdub the rest later in a studio. This is a song about coming home. It's like you took the giant Christmas tree and Rockefeller Center around. You spread it out paper thin, but you were careful not to break up all. And then you mirrored it a millionfold to shine and shine and shine alone. And there's a tap on my knee. Bring up your seat back, please, she says. But I know she means. If you feel like dancing, dance with me. And some of the lights below shine directly on the people I know. Their lives take such strange shapes, but how together they appear from above. I guess that could be love. My friends, I'm coming home. And then the captain speaks. It's clear in 44 degrees, but I know he means. If you feel like dancing, dance with me. tell you over and over and over again, my friend, that I'm down with you, even on the eve of destruction. And if this moment is gone, John Vanisize is next.
So I'm sitting here upstairs while John Vanderslice's drummer is banging downstairs doing their sound check. I'm here with Bishop Allen. And if we go so people can imagine, I'm facing three folks, and if we can start with you and tell me your name, because I don't know your names.
My name is Giorgio Angelini. I play bass guitar.
Okay, and Giorgio, and then
Christian Rutter. I play electric guitar and sing.
Justin Rice, guitar and vocals.
And which of you helps write the songs?
Me and Justin.
Something I just have been thinking about this because I really love the way your songs are crafted. I think they're just marvelous. And Monday was it, Mark? Monday we had Nick Lowe. Do you know Nick Lowe's music?
Yeah.
And we had Nick Lowe on a webcast, and I did an interview with Nick Lowe, and he said something that I absolutely love, and I'm going to toss it your way and see where it goes as songwriters, which is he said something to the effect of, when you start writing songs, you basically are copying your favorite people. I mean, that's what you do, and then eventually something might crop up. Oh, and then maybe you copy the other song, and maybe you copy your second favorite person, and so on. And then all of a sudden, something creeps in from, maybe it's a little bit of your own, but maybe something creeps in from someone you liked way long ago, and eventually it turns into something of your own. Does that make sense?
Sure.
First of all,
yeah.
As songwriters.
Yeah,
so who were the folks that you guys were copying? And as a bass player, we can include you in, Giorgio, not to leave you completely out. Who are the folks that you started copying? And because there's three of you, and you're both three guys, and you just tell me who you are so people get familiar with your names. Why don't you start, Justin?
Christian.
See, I did it.
Well, let's have Justin
start. Okay,
I don't know. I mean, I think that when we first started writing songs, it was sort of a wide spectrum of people that we were listening to and that we were drawing from, and I think it ranged from, you know, Bob Dylan and Jonathan Richman to the Talking Heads and Television and early punk bands. I think it was like sort of everything from 60s rock to like sort of 70s punk that we started out copying or started out borrowing from. And I still think that there's definitely a lot of like the magpie in us. You know, I think that at this point, I think I probably listen to more music that's that sort of is arrayed across the spectrum of music. And I think I still pick and choose from various things, but it's definitely less like
trying to copy the structure or ideas or sensibilities of a particular person, you know.
Is this someone, one in particular? That was a pretty broad brushstroke there between Jonathan Richman and Bob Dylan and, you know, 60s punk, 70s punk and 60s rock.
Right. See, I think that the thing that I always liked was, like, I always liked music that was not about virtuosity as much as it was about connection and personality. And I think that the one thing that I've, like, sort of tried to figure out is why I like particular points of view more than others. Like, why is it that when somebody's... Because, like, a song is almost like... When someone's... Almost any kind of writing to me, it's like hearing somebody's thoughts. Like, a song is a kind of thinking. Writing a song is a kind of thinking. So if I like somebody's thoughts, usually it's because... If I like somebody's songs, usually it's because I like the way that they think. Mm-hmm. And so I think just, like, sort of coming... So I guess the thing for me was that I always picked people, or the people that I responded most to were people that when I heard them thinking aloud in their songs, I thought, God, that guy has an interesting brain.
Drop you another name, just more context.
Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's always surprising. They're always saying something surprising in it, and always has a particular, like, a lot of personality. I think I respond well to, like, singers and songwriters that
well,
have
those two certainly have a lot of personality. Kristen, how about you?
Well, I mean, Justin and I do all our writing together, yeah. So what he says goes for me too. I mean, I tend to do a lot of the arranging for the band. And certainly for me, growing up, I was a huge Beatles fan, and I have all the chord books, and I've been through them a million times. And
what
I
do you
listen
see,
for
what
things
do you see
like
in
that.
The arranging, having turned into an arranger, or maybe what is it that you see in that music that was so
I mean, there's a lot of really interesting chords, like starting songs on, you know, like minor inversions and just different stuff that you don't see when you're looking at Buddy Holly or the Ramones or like a lot of more simple music or most like top 40 pop songs, especially from the 60s and 70s. A lot of really interesting vocal harmonies, like the chorus of Yellow Submarine has like four vocal lines going in the craziest ways that, you know, it's still catchy and upbeat, but then when somebody's walking down in the background, I don't know. It's very, very interesting to listen to for me. So I've combed through those kinds of things, and certainly that would be like the biggest arrangement influence for me. Although I don't know if that comes to bear in the music necessarily as much as
it does.
But yeah.
Just thinking back again to Nick Lowe, though, he said that the song "What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding," which he wrote when he was, you know, his early 20s or so. Was the first original thought he could think of as a songwriter. It's the first time he said to himself, "This is it. Don't mess it up, because you've really got something here." Can you think of that in your songs? Can you?
I mean, certainly. Like, I love Justin's way to put an everyday moment in his life, or someone like him, the narrator's life, and kind of relate it to bigger, more interesting, or more applicable things, like in. Like the song "Click Click Click," we live together
and camera and
we're living together in like a Dominican neighborhood in Brooklyn, and he came out with the lyrics and the conceit of being caught in someone else's like wedding picture, because there when we were living there was all this hustle and bustle that we weren't really a part of, that we just kind of like go into our apartment and go out and go do our own thing, and so that for me was like kind of captured that feeling without, you know, writing it out so explicitly. I like how that works. And Flight 180 also, I really love the lyrics in that song too.
Tell me about that song. Say some of the words to that song. And
so the idea is that the narrator is on a plane. I'm going to explain it in a way that Justin isn't going to like, probably.
That's fine, but that is sort of the beauty
The narrator's on a plane and having sort of a solitary experience looking out the window or being afraid of flying and various verses. And the sort of refrain and the sort of turn of the song is towards the end of every verse, there's someone else that comes in, like the pilot or the flight attendant or something, and they say something sort of banal. But then what he says is, you know, but what they're really saying or what they really mean is, if you feel like dancing, dance with me. And that's kind of like their way to, they're having the same sort of feelings of either isolation or fear of flying or fear in general or uncertainty as you are, and kind of connect through this oblique way. And I like that a lot. So.
As a bass player, first of all, do you have songwriter envy? Do you ever these guys are good songwriters.
Yeah.
You do.
Okay. Yeah, I write my own, but I also, like, you know, I definitely wouldn't tour with a band who I didn't respect as far as songwriters, and I was really excited when they asked me to play. So
What is your connection? Friends, band? You live in the neighborhood?
No, not neighborhood. It's more friends
more
and
friends.
Yeah,
and
co-conspirators.
You're in another band.
Yeah, I play in a few other bands.
Name some names so people might say, oh.
I played in the Rosebuds for a while, and I have my own band,
which is called
1986. I definitely feel that as a songwriter myself, it's really like working with these guys. It's really inspiring because I see how it's always fun to see the other side, like the way other people work and getting into their brains and seeing like if you, like Nick said, like if you can, but even more in a personal sense, like to actually be able to see how they create music and then like comparing to the way you do and seeing if you can learn anything from them. And it's been a really good experience.
Is the form of music that you play, which is and I've never seen you play, so you'll have to excuse me if the premise is wrong here, but they're very tight songs, they're incredibly well crafted, they feel very much studio things that I love this record. What do you do with them live that's going to be different than the record? They really feel like these songs are made for hearing on a CD. Yeah. Not an insult, it's a compliment.
No. That's how we've written almost all our songs, is by recording them like a track at a time. You know, somebody will have some chords or some melody, and we just kind of layer things on. And I think that's why they turn out how they do on the CD. And like, it's been a persistent challenge of the band to make it sound right live as well.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? How do you pull them apart and put them back together?
I mean, I think it really is a process of reinvention whenever we try to come up with a way to play a song live. And it is just a matter of sitting down for a long time and trying to work on songs. Taking a specific song and taking the instrumentation that we have available to us and the people that are going to be playing with us at a given moment, mm-hmm. trying to work on a way for it to have like vitality and life live and still to get across, you know, the sort of general impression of the song or the core nature, the bones of the song are the same, but like the flourishes, the flesh of the song needs to have the right appearance live. Like it can't be, you know, a wax figure. It needs to move.
Yeah.
So it really is just it's a process of making very specific decisions with the people that we're working with to try to give them life. I think in general, the way that we play songs live is we tend to play like sort of more, focus on like sort of more upbeat characteristics of the song and to play them with as much energy as possible. I mean, I think that for me at least, playing live, one of the big reasons to do it is sort of to be able to celebrate what it is about music that we love, mm-hmm. and to share that celebration with people who are interested in our songs or who know them or who show up, you know? And so like sort of focusing on the celebratory nature of music and of the music that we make because we love music is, I think, what we kind of tend to do when we're making a live arrangement.
So what's some of the challenges in when you pull these songs apart and trying to put it together with, and you can tell me who's in the band. We have, obviously, we know three of you now, but...
Right now, we're playing with four. We've played with as many as six. So part of the challenge is that some of the more delicate things that we can do in the studio are much harder to pull off live. There are instruments that we use on the record, like an oboe, that is really not necessarily something that translates well in a rock band. Like, you can't hear it, you know, you can't... Or a bass clarinet.
That's sort of a detail, I think, if you can't hear it.
Right. That's the thing, is that all some of that delicacy gets lost, and so it's a question of how to keep the songs interesting. And I mean, for us, like, we just
don't... So what'd you do with that oboe?
You leave it at home.
How do you find the delicate nature of the song?
Well, then you have to work with what you have, and you have to try to like sort of articulate guitar. Like right now, we're mostly a guitar band for this show, for instance. Mm-hmm. So we have to try to articulate guitar parts that have like the characteristic qualities that make us quirky, I guess, rather than like just a straightforward rock band. And so it sort of means reinventing some of the parts that the actual instruments play so that they can take over the role. You know, if there are violins on a song that are playing a melody, sometimes it's a matter of trying to find a way to recast that melody so that it works on a guitar.
Are there no keyboards in the band?
Not tonight.
Tonight?
There usually are. There oftentimes are. I mean, we also have sort of reinvented what we do from tour to tour based on kind of what we feel like doing at that moment. That's the other thing, is that I don't necessarily, like, while I think that when we work in the studio on the songs, to make them as good as possible and to make them, like, sort of make sense in that context, I don't necessarily believe that there's just, like, one ultimate platonic version of a song. It's like, when you write a song, and if you continue to play it, it's something that you have to, like, sort of put on every day, you know? And sometimes it feels different, sometimes you have to work with it differently, and I don't necessarily feel compelled to do the same thing every time or to, like, make something that's entirely faithful to one idea of what the song is. So sometimes when we're making live arrangements, it's a matter of saying, okay, what's essential in the song and what could change, mm-hmm. you know?
Will something just change on a whim? And you'll surprise Christian with that, Justin?
Oh, yeah.
And you, is that good or is that bad? Is that,
sure. I mean, well, it depends, I guess. But yeah, it's fine.
It's also one of those, you know, when you're playing live, the more, like, there's definitely, it's a strange place to be up on a stage. It's like what you hear and what you experience is never quite the same from night to night just because of acoustics and the way that, like, time passes is unlike the way that time passes at any other time in your life. And so, like, sometimes you don't know what's going on, you know? You sort of have faith that everybody's doing the right, that you've worked on it in a practice space, in a controlled environment, and you have faith that by the time you get out there on stage, everybody knows what they're doing and that you're working with people who are going to do something good all the time, you know? But a lot of the times, you really have no idea what's going on.
That sense of time on stage is a thing that really surprised me when I've been on stage. I never understood or experienced. I mean, it was a total surprise where 1 minute you're playing a song and it's like you just went someplace that you've been transported, and then it's 40 minutes later. But you know you've performed. I mean, you're sort of conscious that you've done all this stuff, but it stretches in many ways.
Yeah. I mean, there are times.
It stretches and shrinks at the same time. I think that's for me was always the weird thing. It felt like it went by really quickly, but at the same time, felt like I can remember every moment in detail, and it stretched as well.
Yeah, it's
hard to explain.
It sounds
really silly.
It is. It's a paradox that is when you experience it. It's very strange. Like a minute can last forever, but when you think back on it, it never happened. You know?
We've played in front of some crowds that definitely make the time pass a little slower. I feel like. Or to know people.
What is that?
My own experience.
What is that challenge? I mean, can you take a crowd that isn't really much into you and turn it around? And then how the heck do you do that?
I think that's the excitement of playing live. Personally, it's like every night is a new face to try to win over. You know, and it's like the day that you start sort of clocking in and just winging it. It's like, I don't know. That's the excitement for me.
Yeah. Can you do you change your set based on a crowd, or is your set a list? And
you know, we will change it based on a crowd. I mean, and based on how things are roll. Like sometimes we'll sort of make an assessment at the beginning of the night as to what kind of set we want to play. Mm-hmm. We'll choose different songs, like more raucous songs or more controlled songs based on like what seems appropriate for a given venue. And then sometimes when we're going along, we'll just call a song that seems like it would fit right there given the energy of the night.
Have you assessed yet?
well,
I mean, there's no crowd here yet.
Right.
People know that, but I mean, have you assessed? You looked at this place. You're playing with John. Do you know John's music?
John? Yeah. We know John's music, and definitely that has an impact because we're playing before him. And you know, it's best if we make choices that like sort of help the night flow together and turn it into like an overall experience for everybody, where both bands are part of the same thing. We've also played at the Rock and Roll Hotel before, and it is kind of like the name would suggest. It's a rock and roll place. You know, last night we were at the Duke Coffee House, and that was a coffee house. Like, so, like, the acoustics, the dynamics, the way the place is set up, and the way that the crowd is, like, the last time we played, they wanted, you know, like, higher energy was better. Sometimes people want, you know, they want the, like, the deep thoughts or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes they just want to dance. Tonight they're going to want to dance, I bet.
Okay, so.
That's my prediction.
You haven't done your set list, but you.
I'm guessing
when you're thinking of it.
Yeah.
A lot of ABBA covers.
A lot of what?
ABBA covers. The dancing.
You got Dancing Queen in your back pocket.
That's some pretty sweet numbers in our back pocket.
Yeah, we played a wedding in July, so we had to learn some things like of that nature.
Has it come in handy yet?
Oh yeah, sure. Oh,
it's coming handy. You know, I think knowing 20 covers, it's always going to be handy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can really be the hit at the party. I mean, wherever you are.
Well, I look forward to being sort of surprised by something.
You know? All right, we'll see.
Thanks for doing this.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you very much
for having us.
Yeah.